Everybody got a Bible? Sure you do. Oh, is not here this morning. I'm your stand-in Bible study teacher. I want to read something in... We'll start in Matthew. It's in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 21. Okay. Jesus is telling people about false prophets, warning them. You'll know them by their fruits. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. And then he says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I don't want to be in that number. But the problem is that most people who are of a religious nature, we fall into that category, because what we're trying to do is, what these guys are really saying is, didn't we try to do the right thing? Weren't we trying to get it right? Didn't we do all the things we were supposed to do, the good things, the correct procedures and everything?
You're saying give us what we deserve?
Yeah, it's like, it's from a position of, Jesus talks about it all through the New Testament. It's like the Pharisee, the place of trying to be righteous, which is just another way of saying trying to be right. And Jesus said, no, in fact, I don't even know who you guys are. But he's quoting here from a psalm. In that last part it says, then will I profess unto thee, or unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And if we look at that psalm that he's quoting from, it's Psalm 6, verse 8, that particular line, then we figure out some more about what Jesus is saying here in Matthew. Because everybody knew, when he said that, everybody knew it was from this psalm. That was their whole life, was knowing all these scriptures and everything. And so, let's look at that psalm. It's Psalm 6. Everybody there? This is a psalm about, it's somebody who's in the extreme place of crying out to God. It's the English doesn't really give it the oomph that's there in the original language. I've read a couple of more other translations of this. Okay, he starts out in verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. And it's vexed, what does that mean? But when it says my bones are vexed, means my bones are in extreme torment. His bones just means his strength, his whole being. So he is in extreme torment in this position. He has no weak, it's like he's weak, he has no strength. And he's crying out to God for mercy. My soul is also very vexed, for my soul is also in extreme torment, just like the rest of me. But thou, O Lord, how long? In other words, like, how long is this going to go on? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. And in the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. In other words, he's cried so much, he's just, you know, he can't cry anymore. He's weary with being in this torment. So it's like it really is a place of no strength for him. He's totally weak. Then it says in verse 8, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Now this is the thing that Jesus quoted in Matthew that we just read. And the word iniquity is, we've talked about this before, but it's in Hebrew it's a word aven, which comes from, it's a word that means self-exertion. And it comes from a word that means to pant. So it's like you're exerting yourself so much that you're panting because it's like I get this picture of, you know, a little rat on a wheel, you know, that's going. That's the self-exertion, you know, of our lives. And that's what Jesus is saying to turn away from. These people are workers of iniquity. They're workers of self-exertion. And so that kind of changes the tenor of the whole thing. You just think, you know, workers of iniquity, well, that's not me. When you say workers of self-exertion, well, that is me. You know, it's like every day I'm trying to make something happen, to bring something together, to get the, you know, do the right thing. Like we go back to what we talked about with the, you know, I want to get all the ducks to line up in a row so my life will work out like I think it's supposed to, like I think God thinks it's supposed to. And so the guy here who is in this extreme torment, it doesn't really say, you know, what's the matter with him, or, you know, what's going on with him, whether it's some kind of sickness or some kind of just affliction. But at the moment of his greatest weakness here in the psalm we've read, he's the one who says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. So Jesus is putting himself in the position of this psalm. And in fact, you know, we've talked about the psalms are the prayers of Christ on the cross. It's like his prayer of, you know, that's, in other words, this is the way Christ felt. You know, this, he wasn't in extreme torment on the cross. And the crucified Christ is always going to say to us when we're trying to get it right, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Because what he wants us to do is to be in the same place that the writer of this psalm is and understand the meaning of affliction and why it's there. We always have to go back to this place. Affliction will bring us back to this place. You know, that's why it happens in our lives. And so we come to a place where we recognize our weakness. We recognize we can't do anything.
That verse 2 where it says my bones are vexed, when you're talking about it, I thought that's the very foundation of your being, is when your bones go out, you have nothing holding you together. And so you can imagine how terrible a feeling that is.
Can't take a stand.
Yeah, you can't take a stand. Your opinions have failed you.
Well, in the Bible, your bones are your... That's what it's talking about, your just general strength, because that's the thing that holds you up. You know. So he gets to this point, he says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. And that's the difference between these guys that Jesus was talking about. He hadn't heard nobody hadn't been any weeping. You know, it's like, I've got it right. I've figured out what I'm supposed to do. I've been doing it in thy name. And Jesus said, you've got it completely wrong. There has to be some weeping. You know, there has to be coming to the place of emptiness, so that to be in my name, you have to be gone and I have to be there. So I can't be there while you're there, because we, you know, you have to empty yourself out. And that happens by coming to, you know, affliction will bring you to that place. Or remembering, you know, seeing somebody else's affliction. I mean, this is, you know, I was looking at our 90-year-old friend, Miss Polly, you know, in the nursing home. She can't do anything. You know, she can't even think. You know, she just... And so, man, that's an extreme point of weakness. But it made me reflect on my own weakness, because, you know, there's not that much difference to get from there to there, you know. Just, you know, you can have a brain aneurysm and you're there, you know. Or you, lots of stuff can happen. And so, you know, meditating on affliction, meditating on your own weakness is very instructive in getting to this place where you empty yourself, because you don't have any other options. So, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity or self-exertion. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and be very vexed, and let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Well, in this case, the enemies are all those voices in your mind that are persecuting Christ in you, that wants to be in this place, and the rest of you wants to get it right. And that's the continual headbutting that goes on in all of our lives. But when Jesus says this, depart from me, all you workers of self-exertion, that should make us all tremble. You know, because we need to be, I mean, I was sitting here looking at these trees, and there's wind, you know, the wind is blowing and the trees are going back and forth, and suddenly they just stopped. And I was like, wow, there's no wind. And then boom, they started up again, you know. And that's the way, you know, to do the will of God. You know, it's like another place that they were asking Jesus, well, how do we do the works of God? You know, I want to get to the place where I can prophesy in your name and do all the right stuff. And how do I do that? You know, what are the works of God? And then Jesus said, believe on him who he has sent. That's the only work. It's to believe. But that happens through emptying. So the Holy Spirit comes and it will move you. And if things aren't moving, you don't want to be moving if God's not moving. And just, that's what I was thinking about. I saw these trees. The leaves were doing all their thing, and then they just stopped. And if you know, the emptying means that you will stop if God's not doing anything, because you're out of the picture. But these guys that Jesus was talking about here, and us when we're not seeing this, is we figure out what the right thing to do is, and then we do it whether God's there or not, if the Holy Spirit is moving or not. Because we've already figured out what it is. We have the image of what's supposed to be happening, what our life is supposed to look like, and we just make it happen. And that's when Jesus says, depart from me. I don't know who you are. Don't want that to happen. So God sends a blessing. He sends affliction to us. Things that we don't like happening in our lives. And like this guy in Psalm 6, it forces us to consider our weakness, and it makes us turn and cry out to God, because that's the only option we have in that place. You know, it talks about the doing things in the name, in thy name. It has nothing to do with who you're mouthing that you're, you know, doing things because of. It has to do with the position of being on the cross. That's what, you know, that's The place that's described in Psalm 6, that's the point of view, that's the launching pad of anything that's going to happen spiritually. And it's a place of crying out to God. That's all he wants. You know, and in that place, then anything can happen. So let's return to that place.
Thinking about the the article about Billy Graham.
How old is that guy?
Several times.
He's like almost
six, I think. Several times, you know, how thankful, what a blessing it is for his failing health. You know, that it's a weakness. And I was thinking of the contrast with the televangelist, because he's like the first really evangelist, big evangelist, you know. And yet he sees that, you know, the suffering is you know, not a strange place. And he talked about John Paul II, and his, you know, he was suffering, and so does, you know, all this stuff is involved.
Yeah.
Makes me think of, as you received him, so walk you in.
That's right.
Who wants to do that? Who wants to be in that position that you were in when you called out?
Yeah.
I'm going to do everything I can to not be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about that verse too, but I couldn't remember where it was, so I wasn't using it. But it's like, I remember we talked about that one time years ago, and it came to me like a brick hit me, you know, that as you first believed, as you know, then you walk. It's like, oh,
no,
wait a minute.
Supposed to help me get out of that.
Yeah, right. It's like I don't want to stay. Have to, you know, that when I'm at the, that was at the end of my rope when that happened. I don't want to be at the end of my rope all the time.
I was dead.
Yeah. But that's the way it's got to be. And that's the blessed place. And we don't like it. But if we can understand that and say yes to that, then we can have peace. That's where peace is. Because there's contentment in that when you're crying out to God. So that's all I had this morning. Any other ideas? In the same topic?
About affliction, how a lot of times we think of affliction as a minor incident that takes place in a small portion of the day. We were afflicted today, but the affliction we're talking about really runs. I mean, look at Oli's affliction, look at the Pope's affliction, look at other people who are sick, they're afflicted. Years. It's not like one little incident qualifies you for having been afflicted.
Yeah, it's anything.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we are all making up, you know, what does it say? We're filling up the affliction that's lacking in the body of Christ, which just means that each one of us has a role to play in that.
Yeah.
You know, in this understanding, you know. And
hey, the guy who invented the Living Bible died this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me? That's too bad. Sorry, man.
Did what?
Died.
The guy who originated the Living Bible died this weekend.
How should we react to that?
I just.
What else? Anything going on we need to talk about?
You?
Well then.
Everybody know Andrew? You know everybody, Andrew?
Yeah, go around. I try to remember everything.
How are you doing?
Give it up.
Son of the nicest parents in the world.
Yeah. That's right.
Please go through all your names because I really it would help.
I'm Bob. Okay, John.
I'm Benny.
We'll pass out a sheet with everyone's name on it for you later.
No, you just go through your name blindly, like I asked.
stop fucking around and tell me your name.
He already knows my name. Harry. I'm John.
Harry gets mad a lot, so you'll recognize him.
He's mad at you right now.
See? Jumbo Joe. John.
And his lovely wife, Carolyn.
Pete, you probably know.
Yes.
Ellen.
Gary.
Ron.
How do you know that?
Dirk.
How do you know that's me?
Tom.
Kevin.
And Gary Buck.
Who the hell is
Gary, he didn't get walk.
Yeah,
but you didn't do it in the right order.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of screwed up everything.
Everybody change things. We'll see if we can figure this all out.
All right, disperse to your homes or jobs or whatever.
All right.
Lord bless you and keep you.
May the Lord bite you and keep you.